You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever. And it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. It's Friday afternoon, Friday evening, not Friday afternoon. Hey Kids Comics, Martin Bruda here.
And Chris Gilpin.
Sam Tweedle's not in today, he's under the weather. So I think our good buddy Dan Collins is racing as we speak in the Collins Mobile to try to get here as soon as possible. And
that's right.
Fill in, and we'll take it from there. But other than that, how you doing, Chris?
Not bad, you?
Good, good.
Good.
Wonderful week in comics, lots of news, lots of strange things.
Lots of strange things, yeah.
Before we get into it, though. The show that you guys did last week that I wasn't part of. Microphone, no,
yes,
moving noises.
Don't do
that. You guys talked about Diamond and their pull list service.
Yes, which I know you would have a opinion or thoughts on.
I have a massive opinion on this.
Okay.
Now, the reason why is Comixology, right, the digital comics platform.
Yeah.
Before they sold digital comics, they had a piece of software that comic shops subscribed to, and I can't recall whether it's cloud-based at the beginning or whether it was loaded on the computers. That doesn't matter. So your comic shop would subscribe to this software, and you could manage your pull list through the internet at your comic shop. But it's something that the comic shop had to buy into and pay for. If they didn't, you couldn't do the service.
Yeah.
Then what they did was they offered that pull list service to individuals just to manage your own software. So if your comic shop isn't subscribed, you could still manage your pull list for yourself. And I've been using it for years. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, they said, yeah, we're discontinuing that piece of software. We're not going to be using it anymore. So everyone was just like, well, okay, yeah, because you guys are focusing on digital comics and stuff. So I got an email today reminding me that March 30th, that service is over and done with.
Right.
Surprise, surprise, Diamond announces the exact same service. So if you're using the Diamond software in your store, you can subscribe to this extra module and your customers can modify their pull lists directly. But again, your store has to be subscribed to this. So this is something that your store's got to pay for.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that's a coincidence.
No. No, it's not.
Pulllist.comixology.com, and the new one from Diamond's called Pull List.
Mm-hmm.
And Comixology's is ending. Diamonds is starting.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's definitely not a coincidence.
You know, so they either bought the software or licensed or did something, and Comixology is like, yeah, you know, we're making so much money with digital comics, we don't need that bit anymore.
Yeah.
So the one bit I did read about as far as Diamond's offering goes, same thing. It's a module available to retailers. If they buy into it, their customers can then modify their pull lists electronically. Everything's cool. And they will have a personal version of it later on so that if your store doesn't use it, you can go in and you can manipulate your own pull list and manage it yourself. Now, I'm using, League of Comic Book Geeks has the same type of thing where you can go in and modify, and they pull all the information from previews and stuff, so you can see what's coming, what isn't. And every Tuesday night, I get an email saying, no, the Chapter House books are not coming this Wednesday. You know, so it's a service that's gonna, like, there's no coincidence.
Yeah.
Diamond bought it. That's just what it is.
Right.
But anyways, I just thought I'd open up with that.
There you go.
I'm a little bummed, though. The last time you and I had a show, I put it up on the interwebs as a podcast, and I put this cool cafe background music. Nobody noticed that we were in a cafe. I'm like, really, guys? Like, there is clinking of glasses and spoons running around and jingling, jangling, and nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. I'm like, really? Really? I stole that background ambiance music fair and square from the interwebs. But anyways.
Yeah.
So what else is new? What else is up?
Lots of stuff. I don't even know where to start. I keep seeing these reports of Kristen Wiig as Cheetah in Wonder Woman 2, and people are like, oh, that's going to be horrible.
Well, you know why? Because what did the horrible Batman movies do in the 80s, early 90s, right? They cast comedians in the villain roles, and it was kind of over the top and cheesy, you know?
Yeah, you're like...
Okay, Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
He's more a character than a comedian.
Yeah.
But he did Mr. Freeze horribly. Jim Carrey.
But that suit was awesome.
The suit was awesome. But Jim Carrey was over the top.
Oh, yeah. He was the Joker.
You know, as the Joker.
Riddler, but he was the Joker.
Yeah, exactly. So I think they're worried about that. But whether it comes to fruition and it actually is bad or not, who knows? She could probably do serious acting.
Well, on a related note, Shazam.
Shazam!
Shazam.
I saw those pictures on the interwebs.
Yeah, like, there's so much to be done. The CGI, editing. You can't just say, that movie's going to suck, because I saw a picture of them filming it.
Well, there's one picture where there's a close-up of the suit.
Yeah.
And the suit looks exactly like Superman. So it has that same texture and everything that Superman's costume does?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of detail in the costume that you're not looking at, right?
Yeah, because when you see it from afar, it almost looks like it's a fake muscle.
Oh, it's definitely fake full muscles.
Right?
and it's just him standing there, you know, warming his hands and drinking coffee. I saw one where he had earmuffs on. It's not like he's acting.
Yeah.
And did you see somebody else posted a picture of Black Panther? And it was like a non-action shot of Black Panther in the costume. I don't know if it was a stunt double or what, but it looked like he was wearing pajamas. Yeah. It didn't look anything like it did in the TV show.
You can't. You have to wait for something to be finished and done before you can judge it.
Exactly.
You know, we went through this with Justice League. You know, it's
people are
Apocalypse.
Dan's here.
Hi.
Yeah, well, Apocalypse was horrible, but anyways.
I still haven't seen that movie.
But yeah, like, it's just, it is what it is. I mean, oh, I found somebody's chewed up gum on the counter. It's now on my hands.
Oh,
gross.
Yeah. So yeah, like, relax, people. It's just a big bunch of shots, no lighting, no tinting to the, like, the Schneider hasn't put his brown paint all over the lens yet, and, like, relax.
Yeah. Now, in kind of a related topic where I, not kind of judging something before it's done, but anyways.
Because we never do that.
Rob Liefeld, I have no issues with him whatsoever, just for the record. He is part of the 90s greatness, in my opinion. But anyways, Netflix options Liefeld's extreme library for multi-film franchise.
Right.
Does that mean that long box full of garbage you have at home is now mint?
Well, actually, those short boxes are over at Martin's, so you can hold on to them.
Marty can keep them and make him some money off them.
Oh my gosh, those things are sitting like awfully close to my little gas stove. Little.
If it was a long, hard winter, they'd be gone.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fake wood stove that's natural gas.
Yeah,
and they're sitting really close to that right now.
But so I have no. I like his artwork. I don't care what people say. I like it. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he's part of the whole 90s issue thing.
Here's where I lost Liefeld. Because same with you. I read New Mutants and I read X-Force and I enjoyed his stuff and no problems. It was when they turned over Captain America to him.
Mm.
And it's not really his fault either, because I think it was Mark Waid. I'm not 100% sure, but Ron Garvey was drawing. Because I know that Waid and Garvey came back after...
Hmm.
Again, back to the series, but they were doing Captain America, and I was reading Captain America at the time, and it was amazing. It was great, but because of this contract that they signed with Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld to give them lesser selling books for a year to kind of rejuvenate them. Hmm. This amazing run was cut short, and then we got that weird Captain America chest.
Barrel chest turned to the side, but still facing forward.
Like that really weird, that bad Liefeld cover.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that was kind of where people started to, you know, and then he did the whole bad boy thing, and he got thrown out of Image, and you know, I think that's where he lost his cred.
Yeah.
He lost his street cred.
But
I like this stuff.
I'm just curious how you guys think this extreme, these characters. I mean, this is full-on action suits and superhero stuff.
It's just
it would do, right?
It's just companies hedging their bets. Well, who bought it? Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Netflix is in danger of losing all their Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Because Disney wants to start up their own streaming service. Yeah. So what they're doing is they're just buying up some IPs. Isn't Miller World, Mark Millar stuff?
Netflix
as well. Yeah. Whether we actually see any of this stuff turn into a TV show, gosh only knows.
Mm-hmm. But last week we were talking about the fact that Miller has comic books being published by Netflix now.
Yeah, Netflix is actually getting into publishing comics. So all the
maybe
Miller
this could have something
stuff
to do with that too. Maybe there's going to be some new '90s Rob Liefeld pouch comics coming out.
Yeah, like there's no reason why Netflix can't actually have a Netflix brand of comics and get them out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no reason. Now they're not going to make any money.
Yeah.
Like we were just, I was just watching this quick little documentary about comics, and it was like, you know, Spider-Man makes whatever it was, $1.5 million or whatever a year, just Amazing Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And the Black Panther movie made, you know, what was it, $700 million domestically in 2 days, in a week,
mm-hmm.
what Spider-Man does in a year. So I'm pretty sure the properties, the real money is the movies, the TV shows, the streaming content on Netflix. But yeah, there's no reason why we couldn't. They wouldn't be the first entertainment company to do that.
Yeah. Well, season 2 of Jessica Jones is out.
Haven't started it yet.
Did that come out yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. I watched a few episodes. I think people are, I mean, she's not your typical superhero, right?
No, like, she's literally the definition of an anti-superhero.
Yeah.
She wants even nothing to do with superheroics. No.
But even story-wise, visually, like it's not a superhero show. It's her. Sometimes she uses her powers, sometimes there's bad guys that have a little, you know, some powers, but they've kind of put in that whole class. I can't remember if they did it in season 1, but they have that whole detective talking to themselves in their
brain.
Yeah,
the narrative.
Yeah, and I don't remember that from season 1. Maybe not as much as season 2, but it's like, it just reminds me of the classic, you know, the dame walked into my life, you know.
The rain fell on the streets with a sickening splat.
But it, so far it's good. It's her origin, basically, is what they're doing in season 2, so.
All the Netflix shows are like that, though.
Yeah.
Like, Punisher is very anti-superhero. Sure, Daredevil puts on the battle armor, but it was more about his buddies and stuff than it was about him in the costume.
Yeah.
You know, Luke Cage didn't have a costume, except for that one.
Flashback
scene.
That was awesome. Awesomeness.
You guys want to hit this Marvel Now stuff?
Sure.
I was sitting there, I did that post on Facebook, like we've got a little Facebook group where we chat about what we're going to talk about on the show, and I put in there all the new number ones that are coming out, and just so we could keep track, and then sure enough, this afternoon, Bleeding Cool puts out an article that says, who are we still waiting for Marvel's fresh start? So they listed it as well, and they break down on, you know, who's missing and stuff, and according to them, like, you know, that Marvel Now, sorry, not Marvel Now, Marvel Fresh Start. It's hard to keep all their reboots in order in my head.
Can I just say that when you restart every year, it's not a fresh start.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's just, oh, this again.
Yeah.
But, to be fair, everybody's whining about how bad Marvel is right now. Maybe this is exactly the reboot that everybody's going to be expecting, you know? Maybe this is going to be exactly what everybody's been whining about. Here you go. Here's Spider-Man. He's poor. Here's Tony Stark. He's a drunk. Here's Captain America. He's noble, not a Nazi.
Here's Captain America. He actually likes America.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right. So they showed the image of that montage slash photograph of all the heroes that are in the Fresh Start. Mm-hmm. And they blacked out everybody who's had a series announced. And the guys that are left are Miles Morales, Spider-Man, mm-hmm. right? Miss Marvel, Ghost Rider, Gambit, She-Hulk, Logan, Jean Grey, Thing, Punisher, Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Quake. So those are the characters that appear in that image that haven't yet, gotten a series reboot.
Yeah. But their series are continuing, are they not?
I don't know. Like those does Gambit have a series?
I don't think so. But those that, like Captain Marvel or...
Well, Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel.
Captain Marvel has a series, and she's been rebooted. She's okay. Getting a new one. So everyone's thinking that these characters, like if you look at the list that I posted, there was a lot in May, there was a lot in June, there was only a few in July. So I feel like there's more coming to be announced in July, more coming to be announced in August. And of course, you know, we're all expecting the X-Men reboot. Because even before in the fall, they were saying that the X-Men titles were going to get restarted. Then Marvel buys Fox, and I'm not sure if that's finished yet, whether that's been inks dried on that deal or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then the new editor-in-chief. So I'm expecting those to get restarted too, you know. Yeah. Instead of X-Men Gold and X-Men Red and X-Men Blue, it'll be Uncanny X-Men and X-Men.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And of course... Sam's not here, and I'm the only guy who probably read X-Men Red.
Oh, you did read X-Men?
Oh, yeah. Everything that Sam said is true. They kind of completely ignored this fancy miniseries. They didn't delve into the fact that she's back. It was just like, okay, here's the new team. She's in charge, and this is how the series is going to go on from here.
So, like I said last week, if you're going to bring back... Jean Grey, it's got to be an event or to some degree a small event, some kind of event. You can't just whitewash it and say she's back.
Well, and that's exactly what they did.
It's so weird.
She's like, oh, why is the X-Men mansion in New York? And then they're in Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens and their base of operations is in Wakanda, an issue too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's like... they didn't even in the first issue stick with the new status quo, let alone what happened. You know, they're not exploring the ramifications of anything of that. They're more interested in introducing these new characters that are going to be on the team.
Yeah.
So I think Sam's got a legitimate complaint there.
Yeah. I was just looking at your list and I don't know. Like, I mean, most of it makes sense, but Sentry, is there a need to bring Sentry back?
In
his own issue, his own book?
Maybe.
Well, it depends. Is he going to be in the Avengers movie?
Probably.
Is he in the Avengers? Do we have a screenshot of the Avengers? The Avengers.
He was, but he's
not on the cover of Avengers number one.
Like Cosmic Ghost Rider?
That's going to be a miniseries.
Is it?
Same thing with Ant-Man and the Wasp.
And Multiple Man.
Excited for the Multiple Man.
Yeah. Jason Liu. But they mentioned, I'm pretty sure they mentioned Multiple Man getting a series either so close after the Fresh Start announcement or so close before.
Yeah, I think it was just before.
Just before. So I think that was always in the works.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, Venom's getting a new one. And there's going to be a new Hulk one with Bruce Banner. And
Is Bruce Banner back yet?
I don't know about yet, but he's definitely the Immortal Hulk. So Immortal Hulk number one is Bruce Banner going green with the purple pants.
Yeah.
Well, correction. The solicitation says the name is Banner. So is there somebody else named Banner?
Like Tom Banner, his brother.
Bob Banner.
His long lost brother.
His long lost brother.
Who was standing in the room.
He was in the back of the room and no one saw him.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe they'll do a Sentry thing and say, what are you talking about? Bob and Bruce were lab mates the whole time. You didn't know this?
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I keep saying this over and over again. My pull list is full. It's over full. So one of these books has to be amazing enough for me to drop something else. And I'm really liking everything that I'm reading right now. So I'm heavily tempted by The Amazing Spider-Man, even though I'm a little concerned about Nick Spencer as the writer. The art looks fantastic.
Yeah, Ryan Otley.
Yeah, and I haven't, you know, of all these characters in the Marvel Universe, Spider-Man's the one that I've followed the most outside of X-Men.
Yeah.
And I'm already getting X-Men Gold, which should drop that. That's not a good series.
See, it should be.
It should be, but it isn't.
You know what I mean? Like, X-Men Blue is just the kids.
Yeah.
Right? But X-Men Gold is Uncanny X-Men.
It's supposed to be.
And it should be amazing.
It's not.
Yeah.
Like, it's not.
It had a great team lineup.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not amazing.
Why is it not good?
It's just boring.
Yeah. Like
I'm dull and boring and
I'm issues behind. Like I don't even know how many issues behind.
It's a bit convoluted and like I don't have a logical explanation, but I have this hierarchy beside my toilet bowl. And that's literally where my comics sit in a pile in on this bookshelf, right?
Yeah.
And it's literally like, okay, here's my new comics for the Wednesday. Ooh, I got to read that one. I got to read that one. They get put on the top. Ooh, I got to read that one. And then something gets piled in the bottom. That goes in the shelf. And then the next Wednesday, more books get piled in. Mm-hmm. Anything that gets read gets pulled out. Anything that doesn't get read just eventually starts filtering at the bottom.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I had two issues of Uncanny of X-Men. Well, it's because it's twice every 2 weeks, right? Two issues of Uncanny of X-Men Gold down there at the bottom of the pile. I'm just like, ugh. Mm-hmm. So there was 3 weeks worth of stuff that I wanted to read before I got to that book.
Yeah.
So that's when I know it's time to drop a book, when it hits the bottom of that read pile.
You know, I was thinking the same thing today because I'm so far behind, right? And there's stuff I got to read, Batman, Superman. That's a given. But I'm thinking like Descender.
Oh, I dropped that a little while ago for the exact same reason.
I've got like 3 or 4 issues, yeah. And the desire to actually read them is low. I won't say it's none, but it's low.
Like when I'm looking at this pile and it's bigger than the shelf space it is, and I just grab the bottom 6 or 7 books and I look at them, I go, tape them shut and put them in my box without reading them.
Yeah.
Those are series I need to cancel.
Yeah.
You know, and if I had a pile of them, there's a whole bunch here I'd try. Like, I'd be in for X-Men, I'd be in for Spider-Man, Captain America, Iron Man. I'd probably go with the Hulk book. I'd grab the Ant-Man and the Wasp, not Doctor Strange. Hulk I'd grab, Black Panther I'd grab, not Venom, Avengers. Like, those are all books that I've read Marvel-wise, followed sporadically throughout the year, so I'd be into them. But, you know, everything else is kicking butt.
Yeah. Dan, are you picking up some new Marvel number ones?
No, probably not. I'll read them in 12 months when hit the Marvel Unlimited app.
Yeah, you still have the Marvel Unlimited.
Yep, and I'm making use of it. Like, it's a great app because I will read, like, X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue, and I don't have anything invested in it because I paid $10 for unlimited comics, and so it's not a big deal if they suck. And, you can take a chance on things without... And the cool thing is, because we all are collectors as well, so if I read something I like, then I'm like, you know what? I'll go look for that and pull it out of the back issues and then start collecting it if it's something that I enjoy enough to want to collect.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you get like a stack of issues that you can read at once, right? It's not like you get... through Marvel Unlimited. It's not like you get issue 1 and then you got to wait a month for issue 2.
Well, depending on the release, because they come out 6 months after the release date. Yeah. So like 6 months after Avengers number 1 is relaunched, I can read it on the app.
Okay.
So then I have to wait monthly for that. But like for back issues and stuff, like if I'm just getting into a series, like, you know, say I wanted to read Black Panther because I saw the new issue was up there, then they've got 15 issues, I can read them all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's
and I cool. have
yeah, well, and it's not that expensive either. I'm pretty sure it's less
ten,
than
$10 a month or less if you are smart and sign up for a year.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure there's like codes everyone.
There's codes and stuff, and I wish that there was a DC app like this because I would be all over it.
They keep saying Yeah, something's coming. Yeah, something's coming. Nothing's coming. Like there's nothing.
Honestly, I'm only reading Marvel Unlimited because there's no DC app. If there was a DC app, I would just delete Marvel and go with DC, and because DC is just where my heart is.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Speaking of DC, DC's launching this new Black Label imprint where they're going to have, basically for all intents and purposes, this is the Elseworlds imprint. But I'm arguing that's nothing really new. Like, Batman White Knight is completely out of continuity.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure if it was being published, it, you know, coinciding with this, it would have that Black Label sticker on it.
Yeah.
Dark Knight, whatever, number three, mm-hmm. that would have been part of this. So I don't think it's anything strange or unusual. Like, some people are like, oh, it's the All-Star, Batman All-Star and Batman Superman All-Star. It's going to be a failure like those. I don't think so. I just think it's a place to label something for continuity nuts and say, hey, if it's got this sticker on it, yeah. it's a you know, it's a story that you might find in one of the movies or something like that.
Well, I was thinking about that because I saw your comment earlier. You were talking to somebody about some of those Elseworlds are part of the multiverse, are they not?
Like, well, officially? Yeah, but that was retroactively done. Yeah. That was done afterwards, right? Yeah. Like when I don't even know, I can't even remember who was it. Was it Mike Mignola that did Batman by Gaslight?
I'd have to look and
see. Anyways, some creator said, hey, I got this idea. Let's put Batman in Jack the Ripper times, right? Yeah. In Victorian England. At no point in time did he go, and I'm going to put them on Earth 32.
No.
You know? Like, somebody else came up with that later.
Yeah.
Like, The Killing Joke was always supposed to be an out-of-continuity story and then got pulled in later.
Yeah. But now, some of them, if not all, some of them are the multiverse world, right?
I cannot see under any circumstances that there isn't a possibility that somebody will say one of these Black Label stories happened on Earth Z or Earth 49 or something like this. And there'll be a crossover and like Red Sun, right?
Yeah.
The Soviet Superman. He's crossed over once or twice. And we've seen him in a few crossovers and event series and stuff. So
yeah, because in Metal, which is all about the multiverse, I can think of at least one where, you know, the bad guys burst into a new universe, and it's like, oh, yeah, that was an Elseworld. I think it was I don't know which one it was officially, but.
Yeah. So they've announced a few titles. So Superman Year One, Frank Miller and John Romita Jr., which, Year One, I gotcha. Because I was confusing that with the Earth One hardcovers that they came out with.
So Year One, like when he's a baby?
I guess because it's the Black Label imprint, Bendis can do whatever the hell he wants, and these guys can do whatever they want, because it's...
Bendis does whatever he wants in the regular
labels. Yeah, exactly. Batman Damned, coming from Brian Azzario and Lee Bermejo. They've worked together on a bunch of stuff. There's a Wonder Woman book from Greg Rucka.
Greg Rucka hasn't done anything for a long time, has he?
Not since he left the New 52 Wonder Woman. Oh, yeah. That I know of.
I have a Greg Rucka story.
Okay.
I was at possibly like one of the early Toronto Comic Con things like 5, 6, 7 years ago when it was literally just the, like, you had Fan Expo, but then there was just this, the other ones were just like a small portion, and it was just guys with long boxes and a few celebrity guys, and Greg Rucka was there, and he was literally like typing up a script or something on his computer, just sitting at a table, and there was nobody around, like nobody coming up to talk to him, nobody doing anything. And me and my brother, we had some Wonder Woman comics and stuff, and we came up and chatted with them for like 2 minutes, and I made a comment like, oh, it's not very busy in here, eh? And he's like, yeah, and you know what? I'm never doing one of these things again. This is ridiculous. And then like 2 weeks later, he quit DC.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. That's my Greg Rucka story.
Yeah. Obviously, he did not want to be there.
He must not have. I mean, it looked like he was getting some work done on his computer. You know, he was typing away something.
I wonder why people wouldn't approach him. probably saw other people approach them. He starts yelling at them. I don't want to be here.
Well, he was very nice to us, signed a bunch of comics and personalized stuff and did funny things with the comics and stuff, and he was really cool. I always enjoyed his writing.
Now, mind you, back then, I don't think writers had the same cachet at a convention that they do now.
Yeah.
Because I remember, what convention was I at? Can't remember. I think it might have been like the wife was going to a wine and cheese thing or something. So we just started walking along, and right there on King or Queen Street, there's this sign that said Comic Convention in this Holiday Inn. Come up the stairs. So we walked up the stairs, and it's in like just like a conference room. And it was literally, like you said, just tables and white boxes.
Yeah.
That's it. Just tables and white boxes. Like, it took me 3 minutes to do the room.
Right.
But like, that was a comic convention back then, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if that was one of the old Paradise comic conventions.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it was cool. Like, if you were looking for back issues and stuff, don't get me wrong. Like, there's a lot of really neat stuff there, but there's nary a cosplayer or a pop vinyl to be found.
Nope.
These stupid pop vinyls. There's four of the darn things in my house now.
Yeah.
They're like a virus. They just bloop, 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 bloop.
So if he does do another convention, you know you got to call him out,
hey,
right?
Greg. Hey, Greg. You said you were never doing one of these things again. I'm sure he's done conventions.
Yeah.
He's probably just been like, I'm not doing conventions in Toronto in a one-room thing where there's nobody else around.
Yeah. Hey, remember me?
Oh, man. So, metal, are you reading?
Ish,
yeah. So, I actually took, again, backlog, right? But I had been focusing on the main series and just kind of piling up the side tie-ins. And you can't. Now that I actually sat down and read the main tie-ins about the alternate Bruces, which is what all those bad guys are, basically, from different universes. Now that I know their backstories and why they're doing what they're doing, I'm looking at the series a whole different way now.
Yeah, they all stole a power from another hero to save the universe, right? So,
well, Batman, some of them, yeah.
Batman steals Flash's powers and becomes the Flash Batman. And
did you read that one?
I think I did, but not well enough. That's my problem. I think I need to grab the whole series and read it all as one series to let it sink in.
Because to me, that read like the Dark Knight universe. Same costume. It just, I'm thinking.
Could be.
Hmm.
I'm sure that you've read it more recently than I had.
Yeah,
recollections.
Like a couple days ago, yeah. But the Green Lantern one, like, it's, all of them are so dark. Like, they're, so his parents are killed.
It is called Dark Knight.
It's not light metal.
I know. It's really dark.
It's not easy listening jazz. It's metal.
It's metal. I don't know what his name is in the series, but the Green Lantern one. It's in the his parents are killed. The robber says, "Okay, kid, you're next." And Bruce stands up to him, and then all of a sudden, the ring appears. And it's like, Bruce Wayne, you show good
bravery
and willpower and stuff. Well, he puts the ring on, and then he goes and literally goes around the corner and smashes the killer, right? Like, and he just goes total dark from there. He just starts killing people and taking over the city.
Well, if you just saw your parents murdered and how old was he supposed to be? 8 or 11 or something?
Yeah.
And somebody just gives you this infinite power where you can, like, create any physical manifestation of your thoughts, I think you might go a little dark.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it gets to the point where he breaks the ring. Like, he has so much willpower that it's like 90%, 100%, 125%, and he breaks the ring. And he controls his darkness. And the whole core comes after him at the same time, and he just wipes them out.
Didn't they already do that with one of the regular Green Lanterns?
Yeah.
Was it Hal?
I was thinking the same thing.
Early in the Green, in Jeff Johns' Green Lantern run.
I was kind of thinking the same thing, but it was similar but different. But, So you have to read these tie-in books, or the main series is, because usually when Marvel does some kind of event, I might pick up the main series, but never buy the tie-ins, right? But in this one, you got to buy the tie-ins, at least the origins of the different Bruces.
Well, the other thing is those tie-ins are separate books, right? Like it's a separate a book that you could buy, a one-shot special. It's not like it's, oh, you have to read these three issues of Teen Titans, New Teen Titans, and Flash in order to get the story. Or you have to read Guardians of the Galaxy, Uncanny X-Men, and Inhumans in order to get the story.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more convenient, but still, it's a lot of books.
Yeah, it is. And I know I'm missing a couple, so I got to try and track those down. But even the, what do they call them, the Batman That Laughs? I read that one, and it was just like, wow. You know, it's just, he goes out, and he finally kills the Joker, but I'd have to go back and read it, but somehow this venom or whatever the Joker has, and he kills him. Anyways, Bruce gets infected by it because the Joker's spreading it around, turning everyone into smiley faces, Jokers and stuff, but somehow it's different for Bruce, and it kind of affects him differently. And he goes to the dark side. Like,
it's the bat, was it Batmantium?
Batmantium, no.
It's the Batmantium that made him behave differently, the nth metal.
Yeah, but
have they gotten into that yet? Like the whole different metals?
I don't think they've mentioned it. Not the Batmantium, but the nth metal is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Huge part of it. But he creates his venom, and he's got Superman. I don't know, he probably has kryptonite on him or something. But he has this venom that he's made up, this spray, that basically makes you kill your loved ones. Right? So Superman's there, and he's trying to talk Bruce down, and it's way too late for that. And he already has, like, the little Robin goblins and stuff, right? He brings in Lois and his son.
Jonathan.
And he sprays him with this stuff, right? And then he turns around, and in the background, you can just see Superman just wiping out Lois and Jonathan. I'm like going, holy cow, this is crazy. But it makes you appreciate the series more. And it seems like Detective Chimp is still alive and running around. So from what I can see. So, yeah, I know it's dark and dark metal and all that stuff, but it's really dark stuff. Really. But good. So what's your Spider King?
Spider King? Yeah. Quick story, real quick. I actually bought a comic book from Grey Guardian that I didn't pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
Sam out there at Grey Guardian has got things moving so smoothly that he's actually got a rack with new issues, and you can go in there and get, you know, like the Terrifics were there, and all, no Spider-Man. No Amazing Spider-Man, because somebody's buying them all for some stupid reason. But, he had a few issues of IDW's The Spider King, and I remember looking at this book in previews, but going, I can't add another book to my list. It's just too many books.
Yeah.
But basically, it's Viking period, and aliens come and invade. But, like, you know, gross, creepy aliens. Not, like, nice, cool, sexy aliens like in Species. These are like, amphibious, reptile, spider creature things. And the art is really funky, and it's just a good book. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
See, I would think if there's a time period where aliens are going to get their butt kicks as Vikings, as long as the aliens don't have, like, ray guns and stuff.
No, they have, like, these strange spore-shooting bio-weapon things. And spoilers, one of the Viking kings gets infected by this spider-like creature, and he becomes the Spider King. And, you know, it's not a big thing. But it's just a hoot and half a book. As soon as I started reading it, the first thing I thought of was Aishe Han. This has got his name all over it. It doesn't, but it's the kind of book that he would enjoy / put out. So I thought it was a hoot and a half, and Sam had tons of copies of them.
Yeah.
What you heard there was me opening up my resealable comic book bag, because Sam's got a bunch of those, and I know you used to like them, and I was always like, pshaw, I can tape my own bag. These things are awesome.
Yeah.
I am so totally getting, like, a ton of them.
Yeah.
But they got the little sticky thing on the back, and they just seal the bag automatically. Do you throw tape on it anyways when you put it in your board, or you just leave it like that?
No. Nope. But I'll give you a hint, though, or a tip. Make sure you do them as you were buying them, because if you get a backlog of books and you haven't sealed them, and you sit there, or even if you buy like a collection, you want to rebag and board them, and you do like 100 of those,
you get those strips everywhere. You get those strips, right?
Just they're on, yeah, they're flying around, they're on your clothes,
and so, they're static, clingy, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's craziness. But if you do them as you buy the books, then you're fine. But
so you may hear this noise every so often from now on.
Yeah.
That was not nearly as satisfying as the first time.
No, it really went good the first time. So yeah, I picked that up, and right away I said, okay, well, I'll throw it on my list.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Life and Times of Captain Marvel, but you're not getting picked up because I'm reading Spider King.
There you go.
So that was really cool. I picked that up. Rough Riders number one from Adam Glass. I think this is, the third Rough Rider series.
I was going to say number one.
Yeah, because they're doing kind of like Chapter House and Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Here's the first five issues of Rough Riders, 1 through 5.
1 through 5, yeah.
Here's Rough Riders Ride Again, or whatever it was called. So
they're almost limited series, but...
Exactly. They're limited series. They have the same characters, same creators. So Southern Bastards.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of here's four issues and then nothing for 7 months.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more logical, right, that they're releasing these as minis. Right. So this is Rough Riders, Ride or Die, number one. I read the first series, liked it quite a bit, missed the second series altogether, and I'm reading this, and it's pretty good. Yeah, I like it, but there's no room. There's just no room on the pull list.
Yeah.
And mostly these are books that Sam likes, but Dr. Star and the Kingdom of Lost Tomorrows. If you like the JSA, this is the book to read.
Oh, yeah?
Jeff Lemire, right? Canadian writer. It's in the same universe as Black Hammer.
Hmm.
And it's basically Starman from Justice Society.
Yeah.
You know, like all his books, like Black Hammer, every single character in Black Hammer represents one of the ages. So there's a guy from the Golden Age that is like a JSA knockoff. There's a guy from the Silver Age who's an Adam Strange knockoff. And now to call them knockoffs is really being disingenuous because they're totally fully developed characters, but they give you that little nostalgic, like, you know, and you're reading about the one character like, oh man, Adam Strange comics. God, I miss Adam Strange comics.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really good. And of course, Jeff Lemire, Canadian writer extraordinaire. We like him. And so I picked those up and read them, but I like you, I've got a stack of unread books that I got to plow through.
Yeah,
I have a stack of unread books, and on top of that is a stack of old books that I bought from Chris like 2 weeks, six weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just crazy. Like, we were talking about that on the Facebook groups too, and it's just like I had these grand intentions of reading all these Bronze Age Marvel series that I didn't get. And, you know, I'm looking at issues 1 to 36 of something, and I'm missing 4 issues, and it's just sitting in a box waiting for me to get those 4 issues to read it. And then eventually it's like, you know, my wish list is 3,000 comics big, and I can't hold 2,000 comic books in boxes waiting for me to read them until I get the other ones. And I just cleaned up the other day and just gave up, taped them shut, put them away. I might get a Marvel Unlimited subscription so I can actually read them.
So there was another big book released on Wednesday from Mr. Robert Kirkman.
Apparently.
Which I haven't read yet.
I have.
Yeah, and?
I dig it. Yeah. It's Oblivion Song from Robert Kirkman and Skybound and Image.
As seen bent backwards in The Talking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah. Chris Hardwick's holding it. And I'm just like, dude, I didn't know your nickname was
Bane. Spinebreaker.
Bane, the way you're breaking the spine on that book. So the basic rundown, I think we went through this when it was just you and me on the show, but the basic rundown is a different dimension. That dimension breaks through into this one. There's a big invasion, aliens and stuff like this. And that's all been dealt with. That's all finished. The aliens were defeated. The dimensional rift was closed. But when this happened, a significant number of people were trapped in the other dimension. So the government started this agency, and there's a scientist who knows how to open the portals and stuff. And they would go over there, bring people back, and save them. Well, it got to the point where they just couldn't find anybody else to bring over and save. So there's this big memorial wall of everybody who was lost in this battle who didn't come back. And this scientist, his brother... disappeared into that dimension. So he's still making these rogue treks into that dimension to try to find people, but he hasn't found anybody in 2 years.
Hmm.
So the government is shutting down the program and stuff like this. But he's like, no, no, I got to find my brother. There's more people over there. And what was the, I think it was the latest King Kong movie where they had a little scene there in the Pentagon where they were trying to fight for funding to keep the program open and stuff like this. John Goodman was like whining, trying to. So it's the same idea. That's how the story sets up. It's like, you can't cut my funding. There's still people over there. And they're like, well, you haven't found anybody in 2 years. And then he actually finds like two people and it brings it back up in the press and everything. And, you know, the joint committee chiefs are like, no, we can't fund it anymore. They're gone. He's like, no, they won't be gone. So he keeps going back. Yeah. So that's the story, is this guy looking for his brother in this alternative dimension. And, you know, there's aliens and creatures and, you know, mutants and survivalists. And
people are buying up stacks of them thinking that they're going to be the new Walking Dead number ones, and they're not.
And unlike Walking Dead, they printed a billion of these things. Yeah. A billion. There was there like a $100 deluxe set that you could get? It had the comic and a statue and all this sort of stuff, and people are buying tons and tons of copies of this. I think it's going to be worth much. It's like, guys.
Yeah.
It's always the book that nobody's paying attention to.
Yeah.
Nobody cared about New Mutants 98.
Yeah.
In 2005, you could find New Mutants 98 in a dollar bin.
Yeah.
Nobody cared. Batman Adventures 12. Nobody cared.
Yeah.
Nobody bought tons of copies when that came out. It was a kid's book.
It's a different time.
And that's why it's worth a lot.
Yeah.
It's like the Amazing Spider-Man nonsense.
Yeah.
So those that don't follow, apparently, Norm Osborn, Carnage, there's going to be a character called Red Goblin. Everyone's freaking out over which in this storyline is going to be the introduction. Which one is going to be the new Amazing Spider-Man 300?
Yeah.
Right?
None of them.
And people are paying $50 a copy for $7.96, and the character's not in there. Yeah. So everyone's like, okay, $7.97.
Yeah.
People are buying copies of $7.97 for $30 a piece. Some of the variants are going for $100 a piece. Guess what? He wasn't in there either.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, it's going to be issue 800, people.
Yeah.
And even then, you know, you got to expect them to be throwing a curveball at you.
Yeah.
But my favorite was on the Facebook group. Did Marvel screw readers by not having it in this issue? I'm like,
no.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
At no point in time did editorial sit there and go, okay, you know we were going to introduce this character in 797? Let's change the story completely and not put him in 797 so Bill, who bought 50 copies, gets hosed. Yeah. Nobody did that.
Shouldn't, like, why did he buy 50 copies if it's not, if the character's not in there, though?
Pre-ordered it, you know? Walked into the store at, the store opens at 11. He grabbed every single copy on the shelf and ran out at 11:05.
Yeah. Then opened the book and went, cameo. Yeah. First appearance of cameo. That's his foot in the background. It's red.
Well, there was a story on one of the Facebook pages about how last Wednesday, you know, this guy that wrote the post said he was standing outside of his comic shop and there was three other guys. And as soon as the doors opened, these three guys, like, bolted for the rack and were...
And the one guy grabbed every single
the
copy.
The one guy grabbed every single copy of the Spider-Man and Rick and Morty, because...
Yeah, because there was a new Rick and Morty number one.
Well, I don't even think it was number one. It was just the fact that Pickle Rick, or whatever the Pickle guy's name
is. It's the Revengers. It's
yeah, some kind of Vindicators TV, or something. Yeah. But it's the first appearance of this Pickle character in a comic
book. Oh, is it? Pickle Rick?
Pickle Rick. So, apparently, because it's his first appearance in a comic book, it's going to be worth $1 million. I don't know. But people are buying them up by the handfuls.
Which means they're not going to be worth $1 million.
That's right. But these three guys were almost coming to blows over these comic books.
Well, my understanding is, like, I read the article, too. All three of them got banned from the store for life. So, they must have been swinging a little bit.
Yeah. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's gotten
stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm that one picture I posted to the Peterborough Facebook group of the guy who's got, like, he's got six copies of regular ASM 797, five copies of the $50 variant, three copies of the $100 variant. And I'm just like, dude, like, what are you doing?
They don't, the only thing is, the only way they're profiting is by the other guys that think the same way they do that weren't able to get a copy.
Well, it's a Ponzi pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
The first sale is easy. The second sale is a little bit harder. The third sale, the guy stuck with it.
Yeah.
And it's those people that are hoping for that third sale that are buying them for $50, $30, $60 a piece. And yeah. they're not going to sell them.
Yeah. There's nothing in those books. No first appearances, no cameos, no foot in the panel. There's no reason for those books to go up in value.
Now, it's a fun series, and there's some people that don't have pull lists that are complaining, you know, oh, yeah. I used to go to the corner store and I could get my Spider-Mans off the rack, and that's how I buy my Spider-Man, and I want to buy my Spider-Man. And it's like, dude, just get a pull list.
Yeah.
We've been doing it since the 90s. Get a pull list.
You can't take a chance anymore because of this crap. With all this is crap.
You know, and if anybody's really worried about it, the trade paperbacks are going to come out. Marvel Unlimited, like Dan said, you're going to be able to read the story.
Yeah, if you're not into it for flipping, then you can still read it.
So just unwind, relax, pirate it.
Yeah.
And then in 3 months, you can buy them out of the dollar bin.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, apparently it's a good story, though. Like, it's a good storyline and stuff. Well, I mean, reading it, but...
If it happens, you know, Carnage mixed with Osborn, that sounds pretty cool to me.
Now, somebody called it the greatest Marvel creation in the past little while. And I'm like, was it really?
Combining two existing really characters is not.
Or was that like the guy with the peanut butter and the guy with the chocolate skateboarding down the street and they bumped into each other?
Yeah.
Did they really create anything?
It's like Steve Rogers wanted to become the Punisher, so he puts a black t-shirt on with a skull on it. Like, that's not a new.
Or the Punisher becomes the Ghost Rider.
I mean, I'm assuming that's in a whole different universe because Frank Castle's still on Earth, right? Like,
well,
I don't know.
Is the Punisher War Machine issue worth tons?
Yeah, and there you go. Two combinations of existing characters.
It's just because it's Spider-Man. It's just because ASM 300. And what's the Hobgoblin? Not the Hobgoblin, the Carnage 361. That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Is because they're dreaming and hoping. Just like Oblivion Song. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to get a $2,000 first issue Kirkman comic. I'm going to get a first appearance of this major Superman villain. And because Carnage was pretty derivative of Venom.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how bad it is. That's how bad this concept is.
It is. It's one of the dumbest things. I have to get off that forum site, that comic book forum site, because it's like there was a post
today. I just ban people. I just block them. I mean, there's so many people. That Bill Wizard guy, I blocked him and then unblocked him and then blocked him again.
There was some guy on there is like, oh, look at these comics. What are they worth? And they're all new stuff. And it's like, okay. Or maybe it was maybe it wasn't that site. Maybe it was another site. But
well, the thing is, there's 44,000 people in that group.
Yeah.
So it only takes 25 morons every day to post something stupid before, you know, the rageometer goes off the charts there. And I'm like,
Do your research. Well, what was...
But that is their research.
There was a couple of...
They don't know what Google is.
But getting somebody else to do your work.
Well, that was a whole 80 comment post about somebody... They held up two bags from Value Village and going, should I buy this?
Yeah.
And it's like research and, oh, you're a real jerkwad for not helping out a newbie and blah, blah. And, well, that's not research. Asking questions is research. And it's like, no. Research is trying to find it out, the answer on your own first, then turning for help. And
well, there was two things this week. One was in Ninja Turtles. It was like, I can't remember what it was, but it was Leonardo with the swords and a red bandana.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy's like, is this like a misprint or an error? Because Leo is blue and Raphael is red. It's like, okay, where do we start with this? Yeah. They were all black and white to begin with.
You were watching the cartoon.
No, way before that. Way before that.
No, he was watching the cartoon.
Yeah. Like, and then the other one was like, how come Jason Todd became Robin in this issue? And then 4 issues later, Batman finds him stealing the tires off his car, and then he becomes Robin.
What was that? Was that Legends relaunch, or which one was that Crisis?
That was Crisis.
Was it Crisis?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's like, okay, this is a big one. You know, new Robin, changed origin in a few issues. Like, it does not... Type in Jason Todd.
Yeah,
read
exactly.
The Wikipedia.
It explains everything.
It's right there.
It's right there.
You just take your time and just go do it.
Yeah, but you see... we're You can I hate to use the word millennial, but I'm going to use the word millennial and entitlement because we have this, and I'm guilty of it too. You know, I want to find something out. I don't have to wait. I don't have to, like, phone, I got the answer. Back in the day, if you wanted to do research, you had to, like, wait till Saturday. Dad drove you into
the library.
To the library. You spent 4 hours in the library with the stacks and the index cards.
Yeah.
And then you figured out something, or you waited till Monday till you ask your teacher and stuff. Now we're used to this instantaneous, you know, I want to know what's going on now. Yeah. Right now, like this second, I want to know what the exchange rate in the U.S. is. Okay, bloop, 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 bloop. There it is. So it's that's all it is these guys are just used to this instant information age. Here I am standing in the store. If I ask 44,000 people whether I should buy this bag, somebody's going to tell me whether I should buy it before I leave the store and spend the $3.99.
Yeah. If you want to confuse a person of a younger age, if you're at a cash register and you buy something with cash, bills, ask for different change than they would typically give you.
Oh, yeah. Can I get two tens with that?
Well, a little more complicated than that.
Can I get four loonies?
But look at the confusion and them staring at the money and going, one. It's not what it says on my ring.
I remember pulling through a McDonald's in Lakefield. You know how they have the change machine that just spits the quarters and pennies and nickels out in the little dish? That was broken.
Hmm.
And literally, the poor girl behind the counter, she was just like, counting nickels and trying to figure out how to make change using nickels and dimes. Well, we got about 4 minutes left. We got a little outro here to go. That's about 2 minutes. So we got a couple minutes. Anything else? Anybody?
Did you watch The Walking Dead?
Yes.
Yes. Sad episode.
And the one after? Last week's episode was pretty
Negan's
good.
Negan's a dick.
Yeah.
Blamed Rick for it all.
But it's Rick's fault. Around. Rick is the bad guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think last week's episode was pretty good. And, you know, there is something going on with Jadis and the garbage people. Like, there's
anymore,
something.
There's not.
Well, there's still something going on at
She's up to something.
At the...
Yeah, like when they talked about those solar panels and stuff like that.
The helicopter pad?
What is this all about? So obviously there's something going on there.
And she had power for the trash compactor thing, right? So...
That was an awesome scene.
That was something.
If she gets some cans and does up some, you know, she could start selling that zombie mush.
There you go.
But did you know she was talking normal?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Once everybody died, she dropped that weird speech pattern they had.
Yeah. So you would think that that's it for her, but obviously there's something else coming down the pipe for that too. That was pretty brutal.
She's going to get into a helicopter and... attack.
Talk about being blamed for killing. Just say you're sorry.
There is remorse.
Yes.
She said there's
say
remorse.
You're sorry.
All right. Well, guys, that's it for us this week at Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. Check us out on the web. Check us out on Google Play, all that other fun stuff. All right, guys. Have a good day.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?